This morning, we began our service by proclaiming, "Alleluia, the Lord is risen." And you responded, "The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia." Praise God. He is risen. Jesus died. He rose. And he promised to come and take us with him one day. The world teases us with all sorts of empty promises, but God blesses us with promises that he always keeps. You can check your Bible. There's not one promise that God has made that he has not kept. He always keeps them. And he's still keeping them today. Just look around you. Look at this marvelous building and what has already been done. Floors that were left vacant for 7 years with all sorts of stuff on them and plywood and rotting wood are now solid once again. There are people from day one that prayed that one day there would be an altar rail here in this church so that people would be able to kneel when they're receiving the body and blood of Jesus. Well, look. We are no longer using a borrowed altar. We are using an altar that was built with a remembrance from the brick church. An exact duplicate. Actually, we feel it's even better than the one that burned and is in Rowan's home. This graces our church and will continue to grace the church. And there's a beautiful plaque on the back of the altar that gives its intentions. I won't tell you what they are, but if you ever have a chance, you can check it out and give thanks. There are more things that are going to happen in the back. I don't have time to tell you all about it, but you'll be coming and seeing changes. Our bishop is coming on April 15th. On that Sunday, he's going to consecrate everything that's new. And it will indeed be a glorious day. There will be singing. There will be celebration. It's going to be like a second Easter. You know, I was talking about promises just a moment ago. The world gives us promises that are full of emptiness. On Easter Sunday, God gave us special, special promises. And everything that is empty is full of his promises. There were three promises of Easter, and each promise is marked by emptiness. There's an empty cross. There are empty burial clothes. And, praise the Lord, there's an empty tomb. God's promises are very, very real. And they're not by any means empty, but filled with hope. Eternal hope. Jesus went to the cross. He suffered. And then he rose from the tomb, defeating the devil, sin, and death. Every other religion in the world, their leaders' remains are still in their tombs. But Jesus is not in his tomb. He is risen. Alleluia! The last 16 hours of Jesus' life were filled with pain, physically and emotionally. Just this past Tuesday, I was honored to preach at the Holy Week lunchtime service given by Coffee County Ministerial Association. My message was a painful one. It was about the scourging of the pillar. And believe me, that was one of the hardest messages that I have ever in my life delivered. Simply because of the sheer agony that Jesus endured for you and for me. The Roman soldiers, I got to tell you, these guys were trained professionals. And what they set out to do was anybody that they had to administer torture to, they tried their hardest. They were masters of torture and death. They tortured Jesus with scourging, crown of thorns, and then the uphill journey, carrying his cross to Calvary, making him carry his cross. But these men were embarrassed when they found out that the body was missing. When they found out that Jesus had risen, they and the temple leaders wanted to keep it quiet from the rest of the people. As a matter of fact, they didn't want anybody to realize that Jesus was indeed the Christ, the Messiah. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, Jesus' accusers, the chief priests and the elders, paid the soldiers who were guarding the tomb And verse 13 says, you must say, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. An absolute lie covering up the truth about Jesus. And Lord knows, the world has been listening to that lie in one form or another since. I want you to think about it. With all the authorities wanting Jesus dead, they would have arrested anyone in the city who even had anything to do with stealing the body. No matter what you may have heard in your life, there is proof that Jesus died on the cross. And it was on the cross that Jesus actually defeated sin. The cross remained empty because that's where our sin disappeared, through Jesus Christ as our Savior. And the tomb remains empty as a sign of the hope that is offered to the believers of Jesus through his resurrection. Let's face it, there's nobody here in this church today that is perfect. We're all sinners. We've all made mistakes. You remember the TV show Happy Days? Fonzie? He had a problem. And his problem was he couldn't say couldn't say he was wrong. Holy Scripture tells us that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God in Romans 3:23. According to God's law, what you deserve when you sin is to be put to death. The wages of sin is death. Now, as sinners, we all deserve to die and be condemned to hell for all eternity. The good news is that God does not want us to go there. And that's why he sent Jesus to die. He allowed his mercy, his grace, his love, and his forgiveness to let us be cleansed from sin so that we never have to go there. The Bible tells us that there is no other name given under heaven by which we can be saved. And that name is Jesus. He was called Yeshua or Yeshua. And he was the Messiah. He is the Messiah. Yeshua HaMashiach. Because the cross is empty, we have the full promises of eternal glory with God fulfilled. 700 years before Jesus walked the earth, the prophet Isaiah said this. He wrote this in Isaiah 53. He foretold, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds, his stripes, we are healed. Right there, my friends, is God's plan for forgiveness for all believers. For our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, for our sins. The punishment that was meant for us brought us peace instead. And by his wounds, his stripes, his suffering, we are healed physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Today is filled with good news. The forgiveness that is available to you today, right here, right now, comes from Jesus. The debt's been paid, and all you need to do is one thing. Believe. That's it. I've offered these 12 words to couples, every couple that gets married. Ashley and Jay heard them at their wedding not too long ago. These 12 words, and I shared them with Wednesday night. I shared them at the Seder. I've shared them numerous times. And they're for every relationship and for your relationship with Jesus Christ. The 12 words are, I was wrong. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. I love you. 12 simple words. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Think about it. If you really get down to it, that's what repentance is all about. On that first Easter morning, just before dawn, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome went to the tomb so that they could finish the anointing of Jesus' body with spices and oils. Every step must have been filled with the sadness of the past few days. Their Lord, their King, their master, was dead. And when they got to the tomb entrance, they felt the earth shake. They were frightened, but they continued on towards the tomb. And when they got to the front of it, they were shocked to see Roman soldiers unconscious. And the stone wheel was already rolled away. They saw a man dressed in white sitting there, and that made them even more frightened. Young man told them that they were there to see Jesus, the one who was crucified. He said Jesus wasn't there, that he had risen and the tomb was empty. In that empty tomb, friends, we find truth of the resurrection in Jesus Christ. And the promise to each and every one of us that we too will be raised to eternal life if we believe. Have you ever thought about why the tomb was empty? It's empty because Jesus is alive. Remember what the angel told them? He had risen. And the promise of that empty tomb is that we also can live after we die. We can live forever in heaven with God the Father, where we shall have the desire to worship Him with all our love forever and ever. I believe that's great news. There's a third promise of emptiness of Easter on this Easter day. In Luke's gospel account in chapter 24, when Peter was told about the risen Jesus, he went to the tomb right then and there. Right then and there to see with his own eyes. And he saw the strips of linen that Jesus had been buried in. And that could have only meant one thing. That Jesus is alive. Can you imagine what the disciples must have felt when they saw Jesus again? In that upper room, the man that they worshipped, here was a man that they truly loved. They learned from him. They lived with him for 3 years. And here was a man that was tortured, killed, and buried, taking him away from his disciples. Can you imagine how they must have felt? But here he was again, right before them. Can you imagine the incredible joy that they must have felt? And the fact that he had risen should give us all the same joy today. He has risen. Jesus Christ lives again. And it's the promise of the empty burial clothes that prove it. It's been nearly 2,000 years since Jesus was crucified, buried, and resurrected. On that very first Easter Sunday, as the women went to the grave, they had no idea what was about to happen to them. And they were not yet aware of the wonderful promises of that day. Off in the distance, not far, was an empty cross. That emptiness was the promise of forgiveness, that their sins would be forgiven. They turned from the cross and went to the tomb, just to find it empty too. And in the emptiness of the tomb, they found the promise of eternal life. I can't say that enough. Inside the tomb were the empty burial clothes, and it was the emptiness of those burial clothes that they found that they could still have the promise of a personal relationship and fellowship with Jesus Christ, their Lord. If you choose, you can know the hope found in the emptiness of so long ago. You can find the promises that Jesus offers you through the empty cross, the empty tomb, and the empty burial clothes. It's your choice to make today. This morning, we've heard about three promises that God has given us. And so I want to ask you to ask yourself, is God serious? I assure you that He is indeed. Ask yourself, have you asked Jesus into your heart? Let today be that day. And don't waste another minute. And then ask God to forgive you. And let His risen Son come into your heart to change your life. Believe me, friends, Jesus will begin a change, a transformation in you. You will see yourself as a better person, absolutely for the better. In closing, Jesus says this. This is one of my favorite Bible verses in Revelation 3:20. Jesus says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." This is an invitation that he is very serious about. And I invite you to let today be the beginning of a wonderful relationship that will be everlasting. A relationship that's based on peace, hope, and love. A relationship in which you'll never be afraid to use the 12 words. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. And you will be free forevermore. And I promise you, you will never be empty again. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.